I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hi, Petty Bitches.
Petty Bitches. This is Davina Devine.
And this is Victoria Secret. And welcome back to... We kept you waiting a little bit because last week we were dead. But we're back.
Yeah. It's been very intense, but we are back and we are fully rotted. Like Herbie fully loaded, but Petty little rotted.
The most my list is disgustingly large. Like, I don't know who hurt me in the last week, but many people apparently did.
Yeah, it's been a week of it. I just want to say as well, thank you to all of the new listeners. I've been getting lots of mails from people that have just kind of recently discovered the podcast. So big shout out to all you new listeners out there.
And our new patrons as well. But yes. Speaking of being back, I think we need a well over overdue bit of a girly gossip. I have so many topics. I'm dying to talk about it.
Let's get into it. Let's do it.
Are you ready? Let's kick off with a little housewife moment. Dorit, she was under house robbery, Davina. They got away with almost $1 million worth of goods out of the house. Mm-hmm. They threatened to kill Dorit. Apparently the kids who were also at home didn't even know what happened, which is good at least.
Jagger and Phoenix.
Yes.
Mommy, did robber in house.
But I mean, that's the thing. You end up on the telly and you're living this lavish lifestyle. People can see you're selling these feckin' wedding dresses for, I don't know how much they are, but like
35 grand.
35 grand.
35 She's, grand.
She's sitting in a pearl dress, which her arse must have been in bits from at the reunion at the moment. Could you imagine sitting on all them pearls?
I love how someone said that she was the best dressed at the reunion. One of the women said, there was pearls flying off that left, right and center.
Who said was, that?
I think it was Garcelle said, no, there was like pearls were like whipping off it. So they were kind of slagging off. Yeah, that is an awful thing to happen. But it's kind of crazy. There was actually an Instagram page that focuses on the housewives' closets and what they have in their closets. And she has made... kind of like an announcement saying that she's not going to do that anymore because it's letting people see what they actually have in their closet. Yeah. And you know, like some of those bags are like 100 grand and the shoes are like 5 grand minimum a pop. Do you know what I mean?
So totally.
Like big money in that.
Big money. And like, obviously someone like Jeffree Star puts a vault in his house and then locks everything away, but then does a tour of it. And I'm like, look what happened to Kim Kardashian. You don't do that. You don't show them, especially like, I don't really like Dorit Styles. She wears all this like trashy, like labely stuff. And some of it's nice, but I think she looks like a twat a lot of the time, to be honest. But like, she's a walking advertisement to be robbed in one way.
Yeah, I myself and Bailey went to France just the year that Kim Kardashian was after being robbed.
Yeah,
and we were making our trip, our little pilgrimage to Versailles, and we were just so drunk. We just kept like going around Paris saying, "Ooh, hey, Kim Kardashian jewels." Ooh, hey.
And did you find them?
No, we didn't. We didn't. We found certain jewels, but none of them belonging to Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
Jewels and pearls of wisdom, to be honest.
Ooh la la.
But I used to love that movie, The Bling Ring. Do you remember when they robbed her from like Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton? And if you haven't seen The Bling Ring, check it out. It's about these teenagers that basically target celebs and like rob their closets.
Yeah, totally. Bad. And that would have been back in the time when Lindsay Lohan had a few bits that you could rob. I'd say now, yeah. Like, you know.
Well, she's on Cameo now.
Oh. You and Lindsay, the Cameo Queens.
Yeah, Cameo Queens.
Okay, speaking of Queens, Madonna. I don't know if you saw, I got a little bit obsessed last night. She shared her Halloween costume. She went as everybody's basic Halloween costume, the Harley Quinn.
Like, who? She is Madonna. She is the queen of pop. Who is letting her post this crap? Like, I love Madonna. I'm a big Madonna fan, I have to say. And I'm fine. I'm really struggling with continuing on my love for Madge. Like, who is letting her post this crap and behave this way? It's actually, she's behaving like... like a teenager.
Yeah.
Like an annoying teenager at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, she's almost riding a teenager as well, isn't she? She's with some dancer at the moment.
Well, I don't really mind. I don't mind, like, because loads of, like, Elfla has been, like, riding young girls like that for years. Do you know what I mean? Nothing's ever said about that. So I don't really mind that. Mm-hmm. But it's just the posts are just wretched. And the plastic surgery is, the filters are insane.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, did you see her at the MTV Awards? Like, when you actually saw her in the flesh. And she looked... like she had so much work, and she looked like Jessica Alves, you know?
Yeah.
Formerly the human Ken doll.
Yeah.
She looked like she had that big lollipop head, mm-hmm. and this weird kind of like, because she's so small, she's only 5'1".
Yeah.
To carry that kind of weird weight and then the big jumbo BBL arse, like, yeah. What is going on?
Oh.
It's a lot to take in.
Well, I mean, speaking of BBLs, we do have an interview coming up and we'll be talking all things cosmetic, both teeth, tits, the works.
Teeth, tits,
the works. I have to say, I'm into the ass. I think her ass looks great. However, her eyes are starting to go a bit, you know, like one eye's starting to travel because they've been yanked back so far.
And what's with the pose? Why is she always like kind of like this weird, like she's been possessed? You know, like her eyes are starting to roll back in her head. Isn't it really weird? It's like, what's with these weird poses? Like, she's actually like off her head.
Oh, completely. No, Perez Hilton used to call this girl Adriana from The Hills.
Yes,
ceiling eyes, because her eyes were always looking up. Which, by the way, if you know any people that talk to you and they're looking at the roof all the time, they're fucking lying.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about several people, bitch.
Yeah, eyes rolling like a slot machine in your head. You're like ding 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 ding, like jackpot. Absolutely nutcase. Come here, tell me this. I know there's Adele is back in the music business. Have you seen this? What do you make of Adele's return to the pop world?
Yeah, I saw Adele perform just this week in the George. She did her new song.
You?
Yeah, yeah. But she did like a dance version of that. And I didn't even know Adele could do the ones and twos in the dances, but I witnessed.
Oh, yeah. The ones and twos. Yeah, no, Adele is back and she's playing Hyde Park next summer. Would you be interested in going? Would you go see Adele?
No.
No, I wouldn't go either, I have to say. I really enjoy her, but I couldn't think, like, don't think I'd enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's start with the facts. Outdoor concerts and me, not really that into them. If I have to go, I will go. But give me, the smaller the venue, the better, like, and the more intimate, the better. I don't even need a full dance troupe, but Adele, like, I'd be into listening to her talk, but I mean, I didn't even listen to that last album and I'm probably not going to listen to this album. I do like the new song, but it sounds like 75 of the songs she has.
A lot of the songs that she writes are about kind of feeling and about like life experience. So I can see why you wouldn't really be into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still a young person at heart. I still have to have that life experience. When you were performing it, by the way, I was referencing Davina Adele Divine performing the new song at the weekend. I looked out into the crowd and I was like, oh my God, it's so funny to see a crowd... when they hear the Adele songs, because they're like living through their trauma as well.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God.
And speaking of being back, so last week at the George, we did a Spice Girl tribute because Spice Girls are 25 years old. We we teamed up with Universal and we did a Spice Girl kind of relaunch. Mm. And this week we're doing an ABBA launch, their first release in 40 years.
Yeah.
So they have a new album called Voyage and obviously their new hologram tour that's launched next year. So we're doing another kind of little album party. So I feel like I'm mad for the album parties these days. And I think it's been so weird because there's been no music. it feels like the music business has been just kind of frozen, hasn't it, for like the last couple of years. And now, like, everybody has new albums coming out, and they must have been just sitting on that.
Well, not the Spice Girls.
Well, no, I know. Isn't that terrible? Like, you'd expect, like, I honestly would have expected even one new song.
Yeah. Well, the rumor is that Victoria Beckham was so annoyed that there was another reunion happening in the George that didn't include her, that she actually called on Garda Síochána to get the George shut down.
I started that rumor. I posted it on the Irish Daily Mail page, and got like a lot of trolls are coming my way.
Okay, before we move on from your Spice Girls night, I want to talk about the gals, because they all did looky likeies of the Spice Girls.
Okay.
Okay. So I was obsessed with Sophia Hart as Victoria Beckham. Like, I was obsessed. Where did the wig come from?
Oh, I garnished the wig for her because I can't trust Sophia to come up with the good. So I was like, I want that to be like a Victoria Beckham wig. But you know what was so funny? When we were, I put it on around the day, and she was like, Mildred kept saying she looked like Lord Farquaad.
Yes. I see that.
So it's just like, you have to kind of give the little nudges to make the right moves in the right direction.
And I just loved that Mizza, but I really enjoyed Mizza's baby look, but she turned baby into a bit of a dirty cow.
Yeah. Baby had quite big breasts.
And also baby did the old, you know, the two fingers with the licky licky through them. I was howling at that. Anyway, it was a really great night, so I'm looking forward to going and seeing your ABBA show on Thursday.
She was also going to wear this t-shirt that says fuck off on it. And I was like, Baby Spice cannot wear a fuck off t-shirt.
Baby Spice does not. Not Baby Bunton swearing. No.
No, not Baby Bunton. Do you know what I was just thinking though? So if you were to come out with an album, if like you were doing a release, what would your album be called? I was having a little think about that. What would you call it? Because it'd have to be something that would be like, you know, telling, but kind of...
I mean, like Secrets Unfolded or...
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. That'd be good. Or I actually think something for you would be good, like Girl Next Door. Like that, or like something that was real nice girl, like Next Door. I was thinking I would call my album Big D Energy.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And that's very like perfect for you. Like absolutely perfect. Do you think my drag character comes across as a nice girl? Is that what you're trying to say there?
I think you try to portray that. Like, I know you're a rotten bitch, but I think like you do always, like you're always trying to be very supportive, like the girl next door, you know, like real, oh, hi. But I know the real you. You're like, post of pictures and you're like, little nephew, isn't he so cute? You're like, you hate kids. I like, that's real you, bitch.
Oh my God. Okay.
But no, the girl next door, she's lovely. Oh my God. Who's that walking past your house? Someone just look in your window.
Yeah, probably. That happens all the time.
That man just looked right in your window. Like very, I'm having a good goo there.
Was it cute?
No.
Keep walking, sir. Keep walking.
Sir.
Okay. Something which we didn't get to talk about, which is actually quite tragic, last week was Alec Baldwin and his accident on set.
Oh, God, yeah.
Where they said that the gun was obviously like a prop gun or something, but it was loaded and somebody died and... Fucking awful, girl. Like, could you imagine?
Yeah, it wouldn't be ideal now. But however, it wouldn't be ideal. But there is some people, I have to say, if I was working on a set, I wouldn't mind if the gun was loaded.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't mind like pretending I was upset about things like that. But no, shocking. And it happened before with Brandon Lee. Do you remember Bruce Lee's son? Years ago, he was used to be in The Crow.
Oh my God.
And that happened to him on set before. And that was like over 20 years ago. So to have this happen again, it's just like, gross negligence, but it was like an old vintage shotgun from like the 1800s. So it was supposed to be like they call it cold gun in the business. Oh. It was supposed to be cold, and it was supposed to be just for shooting like cans, you know, like they were only supposed to be like, you know, but yeah, it shot her right in the stomach.
You have you use the word cold gun as well for things too, don't you?
A cold gun?
Yeah. Oh, you're terrible cold gun.
Terrible.
Well, like on the topic
it's very sad for her family and people left behind, because like you don't go to work ever, especially in that creative environment, like expecting to be shot dead.
No.
That bit is kind of crazy. Like when you think about that, and it must be awful to have that guilt on your conscience.
Yeah.
But you know,
how do you move on the next day? Like, but I mean, just about Alec. I'm not sure if you saw, but ex-Real Housewife of Orange County, Kelly Dodd, her husband, do you remember she married that fella Rick yes. from Fox News?
Yes. Well, do you know, I have to say, there's big sexual energy off the two of them. I'd say they fuck like maniacs.
Oh, yeah.
There's serious, crazy, like animal sex vibes off the pair of them.
Definitely.
Isn't there?
Definitely. I know exactly what you mean. They look like they're up all night, not
looks like a
wink.
Dirty bastard, and I'm there for it.
Well, wait, you're here. At the weekend, he went as Alec Baldwin, as one of his characters for Halloween.
Hang on. I saw the pictures, to be honest, and she's of Native American heritage.
Yeah.
I saw those pictures, and honestly, they looked like they were dressed as a cowboy and an Indian.
That's
what they look like. So I think that's someone trying to stir up a bit of shit for them because she's a bit of an anti-vaxxer shouter-outer.
Yeah.
He did not look like he was dressed as Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin is playing a priest in that movie, and he was not dressed as a priest.
What Rick was quoted as saying is that Alec is a jerk and deserves all the heat he's getting.
Ooh,
I was like, girl.
Pardon the pun, but that shot's fired, isn't it?
Oh. No, not that. obviously it'd be a while
He has a terrible reputation though. And like, do you remember that voicemail that came out where he abused his daughter years ago?
Ireland.
Like he has a terrible reputation, but still I would not wish that on anyone.
No. So,
and especially to say it publicly.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Not really good. But the two of them are a little bit wild and nutty.
You know, I get sometimes referred to as looking like a bit of a Baldwin. Do you know that? And that's not just because I've had two hair transplants, by the way, before you say it, you little bitch.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't remember which Baldwin it is. Anyway, it'll be a while, obviously, before he gets back to work. But someone who is back to work, Davina, is Katie Price. Mm-hmm. She's out of rehab.
She's out of rehab. She's done her stint. She's done her time. And now she's selling beauty products.
Yes. That's what I was going to get to. Oh, my God. Like, she's launching her own makeup line. I'm like, I'm sick of people. I'm launching a makeup line.
I have to say this. I have always been a Katie fan. Over the years, again, she's another one. She's up there with my Madonna, and she's making it really difficult to be a fan and someone to support somebody in this. It's like this tone deaf behavior that's like she doesn't, it's like there's no remorse or she doesn't give a shit about anything that her actions, you know, there's no repercussions for her actions. And that beauty line, like I've been a fan, followed her for years, and she had lashes, I had the perfumes, all that stuff when she was worth like 50 million. Quid, like,
yeah.
And now the stuff, have you seen the makeup is actually tragic.
It's awful.
Like, literally, like go on AliExpress and Google highlighters. That's what she's doing.
She's like, repackaging.
Just repackaging this shit. Like, there's nothing that says that, like, if you're going to buy a celebrity brand, I want to feel personally that they have some kind of input, that they know about the product, that they care about the product. She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And that's becoming more and more apparent. And how can you get people to support when they don't give a fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
No, absolutely. I mean, when I saw she was launching a bloody makeup line, I was like, okay, here we go. Another one on the bandwagon.
And also, where is she going wearing that makeup? She wears tracksuits 7 days a week. She wears maybe a wonky lash here and there. Like, never a screed of makeup on that face.
Yeah.
Like, gone are the days of the National Television Awards where she'd come out dressed in full drag. Do you know what I mean? Gone are those days. That's when she should have been selling the makeup. Not now when she's dressed like a chav just out of rehab.
Do you think Alex will be first in line to buy some though?
Oh, I actually listened to a couple of his interviews now. He was dishing the dirt on her, but he tries not to talk about her because just he wants to kind of let it go. But I've listened to some podcasts that he's done and he has dished some dirt, and that doesn't make me like her more.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I'm sure you can Google them. Alex Reed's like, and he's been full disclosure as much as he can, but,
Full disclosure, but not full coverage for Roxanne, that's for sure.
No. But yeah, so I, like, needless to say, I will not be buying any of her makeup or supporting her business endeavors. And if she brings out one more riding range,
I know.
Like, they're not the kind of riding ranges I want from Katie Price.
What I would buy off her though is if she brought out her own pre-mixed porn star cocktails.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember the time when she was in the George Wills? She was doing a gig and she was so drunk. She was drunk when she arrived. But she said it was because she was really nervous. And she was like well on, but not locked.
Yeah.
But then she made everybody drink porn star martinis. It was actually the first time I'd had a porn star martini.
Yeah.
And we were all sitting around and she was in a kind of like little champagne glass and she kept spilling it onto her these suede boots. And I was like, oh my God, mind your boots. And she was like, fuck it, I'm going to sell them on Depop anyway.
Well, also the rumor is that the reason that George now has a cocktail bar is because Katie Price requested it personally. Is that right? Yeah.
Well, when she asked him to make a porn star martini, they all looked at each other. I could see their eyes moving around the room. It was like the place was haunted. It's like they had heard a ghost in the corner. Nobody knew how to make a porn star martini. But now, of course, they still don't know how to make a porn star martini.
Oh my God. Okay, let's move on.
Oh, TV, tell me this. Yes. So we know we were talking about this, and I've been obsessed with this over the last couple of weeks, and it's getting very, very mixed reviews. Kane, set in Dublin, about gangsters and gangland, yeah, and about all the shootings. Have you watched it?
No, I mean, you obviously have mentioned it, but like...
I mentioned it like 80 times.
No, I can't commit to it at the moment.
Well, it's only 8 episodes, and I love anything that's like based in Dublin, that's like especially like through the pandemic, and you could see they were filming all around the place, and they're supposed to live quite close to where I live, so I love like seeing the area and seeing just kind of the nosiness of it, and I love saying, why would they drive that way? You drive the other way. I'm like, why are they going down there? I was like, oh well, I wouldn't be going down there. Now you're gonna like run into trouble going down that street. And I really enjoy that aspect of it, but it's getting really mixed reviews. Some people are like, they want it back for a second season. And the main guy, he plays Daredevil in Netflix.
Okay.
Some Netflix show with Daredevil, I think. It's a Marvel thing. Uh-huh. And he is fucking gorgeous. I'm like actually madly in love with him. And actually I'm madly in love with all of them.
Have you slid into any of their DMs while drunk at there?
No, I've tweeted publicly to them and some of them have got back to me. But the main guy, he doesn't have social media. And the reason I know is because he has like, his name's Charlie Cox. Uh-huh. And there's lots of pages with like Charlie Cox Army, Charlie Cox Babes. You know, like all these people have set up like fan pages.
Yes.
So anytime I tweet about it or whatever, they always like the page or like tweet. Which is gas. But his Irish accent is actually amazing. I didn't even know that he was a full-blown English. Like,
oh.
Or like Langdon. And yes, that was pretty impressive. Then I kind of fancied him a bit more. And I was like, oh.
Talk to me in your Irish accent there. I will. Yeah, do you know what? I'll watch an episode tonight. I absolutely will commit to an episode.
Yeah. Just get into it because I watch it on the player because I wanted to get a second season. So I need to see like people are interested.
Not to be in a taking out a campaign for RT player. I mean, like I'll try and watch it on the player. However, I did see loads of people complain about the player today.
Oh, okay. And also our friend of the show, Thomas Kane Bourne, has actually got a starring role in Kin. So, and he's amazing in it, by the way. And I know he listens to the podcast. So you are fabulous, as I told you in DMs. He's really good.
Oh, he's so good. So good. Yeah. I want to talk about Alice Evans, who is Ian Grufford's ex-wife now, who they split very recently. And she's been going on Twitter rants, girl, about this split. So Ian was in Titanic.
Is this the man who played, did he play Goldie Hawn's ex-husband in First Wives Club?
I think so, actually. Yeah. I think so. But anyway, during the pandemic, he was off filming and then just went MIA and left her, has now announced that he's with this new girl called Bianca Wallace. She is tweeting like a mad joke, saying that he's forgetting his kids, saying that he was illegally quarantining with this woman during like lockdown. And I was like, that is slightly a woman after my own heart. Someone who's just going to go onto Twitter and absolutely put it out exactly how it is. And he's trying to ignore it because he still obviously wants to be like a real, you know, taken serious actor. But then also sharing photos of this new girl who apparently has been around for 3 years, the cheating bastard.
Oh, wow. I have to say, I've noticed this a lot lately. Like, there's an awful lot of nut jobs. Like, I'm not saying, I mean, obviously she's triggered by trauma and abandonment and all that kind of stuff. But there's an awful lot of people just going on these rants, isn't there? Like, yeah. Have you noticed that? I don't know if it's like the weirdness of like the pandemic and it's just kind of messed with people's like...
I found it hard at times during the pandemic not to go on those rants and to absolutely, to be honest, the rants were to you. I was like picking up the phone because if I didn't say it to someone, I was going to put it on Twitter. So maybe Alice needs a good mate.
I also think the pandemic has kind of made people think about their life kind of in a bit in a broader kind of context. And I think there's a lot of people that have, I was even listening to TV earlier on. It was like, you know, on this morning they were talking about like people ringing in with their relationship problems. And this woman wrote in and she said, during the pandemic, her words were, during the pandemic, I realized my husband was not for me anymore.
Oh my God.
That's what she said. And I think this, I think people are having this weird awakenings because they're like, if this is my life, I don't want this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of shocking, but it's also like, if you're the one left high and dry, what do you do?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I suppose everyone was put on pause and then really had nothing but time to think about all their life choices. I mean, I know I thought about my own. So, I think anyway, I hope she has, I hope she has a good mate that she can start talking to instead of Twitter. I think there's one more story I'd love to talk to you about, which is Zayn Malik, Gigi Hadid, and Yolanda Hadid.
Oh my God. Now, when I saw this, you know, this was one of these stories that when I saw people kept talking about it online, I just kept seeing the image.
Yeah.
And the image was a really bad picture of Yolanda in the middle looking like she was shoved. And then, like, I didn't realize who the two other people were.
Yeah.
And I just kept seeing it like in different people's Instagram feeds. And I just kept scrolling because I was like, it should have stopped me in my tracks, but it didn't.
No.
So it took me a while to kind of figure out what had happened.
Well, there was an alleged altercation between Zayn and Yolanda. Zayn allegedly also called Yolanda a fucking Dutch slut and to stay away from his daughter, plus lots of other verbal abuses. He's denying that he struck her, but that is what is out there at the moment. And in the meantime, Gigi just wants to stay private and concentrate on her daughter.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on all that? Like,
oh, well, first off, having watched Yolanda in that Making a Model and in the Housewives of Beverly Hills, look, Yolanda is so meddling and uptight and in your business.
Uh-huh.
And I can understand how somebody would be like, get the fuck away from me. Like, I can actually understand. She gets so close and so involved. Even like, you, like, remember when in the Real Housewives, when she was talking to David, she was practically feeding David with a fork.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was, and he left her. Like, I just think she is like, I think she's too much. And I think she's just anal and she thinks she knows best all the time. And that would drive me fucking nuts. And especially she'd be one of these people, that's my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And she'd be there having to deal with that.
Right.
Oh my God.
Right. I mean, I have to say,
I'd push her into a cabinet.
I have to say, like, lots of people have some weird thoughts about her because of the Lyme disease and like, was it real? Was it not real? I thought it was real. Then she said the whole family had it, but they all had at different ways. Do I think that Zayn, it gives me that look in the eye that you don't know what's going to happen next. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, all these people have so much more money than sense. And they're also just from different like backgrounds. So they're kind of like, he's an English, like, working class background. And she's living her best life in the Hollywood Hills, like with the hoi polloi. Do you know what I mean? And she thinks she knows best. And she's all this new nutrition, and you know, Gigi's going to collapse of hunger and she's going to chew a few almonds. Do you know what I mean? She's not somebody that you'd like. If she wasn't buzzing around me, I'd change the locks. I'd be like, get her out here. She would be like, she'd be the ultimate nosy neighbor that would keep coming into your house, you know, or have a key to your house. That's who she'd be.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, we need to get that key back off her.
She's out trimming her lemon bushes, but actually she's just looking into your back garden to see what's happening.
she's a nosy Nora. Like, now enough of her now. No.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, Zayn is obviously a little bit like loopy as well, but she's too much for me. She'd be pushing me over the edge as well.
They're saying it's the cannabis. The cannabis is sending him even more loopy.
Well, I that stuff does actually send people fucking wacko. There's only so much, like, as we both well know.
Yep, absolutely.
Ooh. As we both know, you know who you are.
Okay. Do you have anything else on your juicy list there?
Well, one thing that I've been obsessed with and that I've been kind of like really interested in was the American Crime Story impeachment that has been on. I think they actually just went on BBC Two recently, but I've obviously been watching it on my dodgy box for the last while, and it's nearly coming to an end. But I love those American crime stories that I don't really know. Like, that would have been in the 90s when I knew it was happening, but I didn't really understand at the time the context of it. And it's so juicy.
It's been a bit, like, of an eye opener, hasn't it? I'm on episode 6 of it at the moment.
Oh, it's good. I'm glad you're watching, because I was telling you about this one as well.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp, and I'm obsessed with the way they're telling the story about kind of from the, like, it's a very human female perspective.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love that the Clintons aren't really featuring as much in it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, like, so I've been watching the real interviews back, Mm-hmm. I really fancy Bill Clinton from like back in the day.
Yeah, he's got charisma and that's very sexy. Also, he was one of the most powerful men in the world. So
I would definitely visit the Oval Office anytime.
Just for a little suck. Not a whole suck, a little one. Yeah, I'd probably be with you, to be honest. Either I'd be keeping sketch at the door so that you'd be able to go off.
And like, I'm not into like older fellas, but I have to say that like even Clive Owens as Bill Clinton in my head, that is who Bill Clinton is. So I'm like, oh yeah.
Girl, you are kidding me. I didn't know that was Clive Owens.
Yeah, Clive Owens. It's so, the casting is so good and the acting is amazing and the makeup and prosthetics is amazing. Like Edie Falco as Hillary is amazing. It's really juicy. So if you haven't seen it, do check it out. I would highly recommend it.
Oh my God, Clive Owens was on my like fantasy league fellas, basically. Mm. That I'm like, oh God, he's gorgeous. I'm obsessed. What I didn't realize was how much Monica was putting in a graft. Like,
yeah.
And she's obviously working on it. So is she?
Yeah, she's an executive producer on it, and that's it. Like, they didn't really focus on kind of like the actual like sexual acts. It was more about the kind of story. And do you know what? Actually, one thing that I was going to say: all these kind of biopics and things that are coming out now at the moment, and all these people playing kind of people not so in the like distant past.
Yeah.
But have you seen the new movie that's coming out with Kristen Stewart Spencer?
Yes, it's out this weekend.
Yes. Like, what do you make of that? I just have this theory: why don't they let these people just rest?
Yeah.
Like. I just find it mad. It's like every time, I swear to God, you turn on the TV, there's either something about Diana, Michael Jackson, or Freddie Mercury constantly on. Yeah. Like, you can't escape it.
That's why. Money, because they make money. However, does the world need Kristen Stewart playing
Diana?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm open-minded, but at the same time, I'm like, what can they tell us that we don't already know? Like, we know everything about these people's lives.
Yeah.
Like, everything. They even had, like, Michael Jackson, the autopsy, like they literally like cut his body up and had it on a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, what more can they give us information? And why do we have this crave for like this information? It's bizarre, isn't it?
It's bizarre because we are all that nosy neighbor. We're all actually, no, that's a lie. I don't want to know anything about what my neighbors are up to in my apartment building.
Not your neighbors. If they were juicy neighbors, you would.
I purposely try and like stay away from all of that.
I know, but hang on now. That's actually a lie. It's a blatant lie. Well, she told me that man who lives across the road, you know.
Oh, yes. Okay, but he is different.
Exactly, because he's interesting. The others are like practically like on death's door. So don't fucking pull that one. There she is, the girl next door. New LP out this Friday.
Here, tell me this, because you obviously did a lot of Halloween-y bits over the last week. What amazing costumes did you see? And tell me about the first time in drags.
Oh, there was a lot of, as we saw the other night, a lot of Lady Beige faces.
Yes.
There was Toasty Beige. There was Toasty Almonds. Yeah. There was a lot of foundation faces knocking around. I love first times in drag, I have to say.
They're the best.
When we first started doing drag, the drag first time has upgraded. People now have, because things are YouTube and things like that, people have, like, the basics are much better. Like, I saw people with padding for the first time in drag. Like, padding, would you go away? Like, we wouldn't even got a bit of padding, like, in the bra, like, in our day.
It was a pair of socks and you're out the door.
Yeah, or rice and tights. Yeah. But my favorite costume that I saw, and there was loads of the usual like Squid Games. That was like the most I saw. I know there was a lot of Harley Quinns and...
I have to say Harley Quinns need to go.
They do. It's enough now. Mm-hmm. But my favorite one that I saw, and it was actually from someone up the north, I actually shared it on my Instagram, was, you know, Julian from the UTV Live.
Oh,
and
so
like,
good.
That was my favorite one because it was just like so silly, but just like so iconic and very, very Irish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was my favorite one. It was just a bit different. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
There's a few good ones. And I saw a lot of people dress up. Obviously, somebody thought of it first and then everyone kept hopping on it. People were dressing as Nicki Minaj's cousin with the big balls. Did you see that?
Yes. They're my favorite. The pop culture references are my favorite. Like I saw this guy called Sean went as Nicki Minaj on the Met Gala carpet, which was just like a head to toe, like black costume, face covered.
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Big yeah, arse, that was good. Pony, yeah. Loved that. And friend of the show, Willem, was at your show on Saturday in the George and tweeted his favourite picture, which was a transformer. Someone went as a transformer in the George on Saturday night. I don't know if you saw it, but it looked amazing.
Yeah, there was a lot of costumes and like Halloween is for the people. It's not for us. Like our life is Halloween. So
yeah, totally.
We dress up all the other 365 days. I hope you enjoy that one fucking day, motherfuckers.
Well, let's pause for a quick petty promotional moment. If you can't get enough of the podcast, well, that's okay because we have a whole lot more available over on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/pettylittlethingspod. If you absolutely hate us, we'll tell you now, don't subscribe to that. Definitely don't. But if you love us, you can check it over there. Our petty promotional person of the month. I'm going to do two because we got two new subscribers today.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
First is Owen Keyes.
Hi, Owen. Congratulations. Welcome to the petty party.
Who's definitely either in Northern Ireland or the UK because they're paying pounds. We're getting pounds off them, not euros. Kaishi,
98 TV. And who else?
And also Nick Pender. Nick Pender is a petty little lady. So welcome, gang, to our little private members
join the
group.
The petty party. Mm. Nice of you to join us. And of course, we do appreciate everyone that does support us already. And we hope you enjoy our extra content over there.
Yeah, absolutely. But Davina, what is coming up still?
So next up, we're going to be talking to a leading dentist and a beauty aesthetic professional. And we're going to be talking about all things procedures, whether you have them abroad, in Ireland, and just how it's business, a busy business booming.
Yeah, we're talking tits, teeth, the works. Yeah. So if you have any interest, you're going to really enjoy these two little interviews that we did. And remember, we'll be straight back after it with some Rotters of the Week.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Okay, Davina, everyone's singing into the thick of it at the moment, but I think we need to get into the teeth of it. And you have lined up someone special for us to chat to.
Yes, well, you know, as we know, we are fascinated with procedures of all kinds, whether it's follicles in the hair, whether it's wrinkles on the eyes, and especially now the new craze is turkey teeth, let's be real.
Oh, yes.
So we are obsessed, and the lovely Dr. Brona Keane has reached out to us. She's a dentist extraordinaire, and she's here to share her wisdom teeth with us today.
Oh, I like
Hi,
that.
Brona.
Hi, guys. Thank you Welcome. So much for having me on.
Welcome to Petty Little Things. Now, Brona, tell us a little bit about your background, and because you are on Instagram, Ireland's Tooth Fairy. So tell us a little bit about that and how that came to fruition.
So basically, I actually started kind of like in the HSC originally, and then I branched out into the private sector. And what I realized from working in the HSC was there was a complete lack of education with dentistry, especially just in Ireland. And I find that it's really difficult to also access the information. So when I was working, I was telling people, and people would always be like gobsmacked about the stuff I was saying that I thought was general knowledge, but general knowledge is not always so common.
Yeah.
So I basically then started the Instagram so that people could be more aware of their decisions and more informed and kind of making not like just basically the right choices for them, not trying to tell them what to do or anything, but just to get people more informed so that they feel like they're comfortable with their decisions and they know what they're doing, basically.
Yeah.
And I think, like, especially dentists in particular, I don't know why people are so afraid of the dentists. Like, it's just this kind of like, it's, you know, I don't know if it's like a traumatic experience that people go through, that it's like, why do you think it is that people are so afraid of the dentist? Like, why do you think that's a big thing?
So why this is actually a big thing is because historically we have the dentists standing on top of the patients, yanking teeth out against the door. Ooh. And we have all of this kind of historical stuff, which no doubt probably happened to grandparents and stuff. But dentistry is one of these like fast changing industries that have come on leaps and bounds, even like since the 90s. Like I remember when my dad started, he was using no gloves, you know what I mean?
Wow. So,
and like now I would not put my hand in someone's mouth without a glove on.
So is your dad and your mom dentists, or is it just your dad?
my dad is an orthodontist, so okay. I'm not going to, like, he actually told me that I talked too much to go into dentistry and that it wasn't suitable. And then I was the rebel and went against his words and went into it anyway. So I just love, like, the cosmetics of it and changing the smile. And that's kind of what I focus on. And just, like, I don't know, you get a good, really good feeling when someone's really happy with their treatment at the end. Mm-hmm. And just, it's kind of, it's very just in tune. Like, I'd be very into, like, doing my makeup and my hair and my clothes. And I feel like it's all very in tune with that. Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, it's beauty compared to before. Yeah, so it was true. More like essential. And that's especially back in the day when people were scared of them. Mm-hmm. People would only go to the dentist when they were, like, in pain.
Yeah.
But now you're going nearly as a luxury. Like, you're going mm-hmm. to get more beautified.
Yeah. I still get scared, but what I will say is I'm over in the UK at the moment, and I'm and it's no longer socially distant here, so I can smell people's breaths again, and it's been almost 2 years since I haven't smelled other people's breaths. And me and Davina have always had a fascination with something called, and we're probably, maybe it's even wrong, Davina, but remember, we always used to have a fascination with halitosis breath, like people yes. who, like, are suffering with the gums.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of that D at the moment.
Okay.
Oh, lots of people. I'm like, ooh.
Well, like, I'm sure there's a list of conditions that we could list off that Bronwyn could be like, yeah, and she could, like, fill us in on all of that, which is totally one thing. But I think dentistry as a whole, it's, like, become such a trend-based thing now, hasn't it? Like, that's kind of where we kind of got talking about, because of the look, you know, like, the actual, the porcelain veneer, the mouth full of bleached white, gorgeous Hollywood smiles. Like, it's... Is it achievable for everybody, or is that just
it fake? Is achievable for everyone, but it's not like, it's not a standard journey for people. So, like, yeah. what is suitable for you might not be suitable for me. And I think the aim, like, originally it was very, like, not like, it was pretty destructive. Like, there was, for example, that bonding material, the white filling material, only came in late 90s, early 2000s. And that wasn't even available previously. So we were looking at, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. We were looking at crowning and veneering so many teeth. But now we're looking more towards, like, that minimally invasive and kind of conservative treatment, which is your, like, ABC smiles. So we're talking A for, like, aligning the teeth, getting them all straight. And then you're B for bleaching them, and C then for bonding your composite. So then what that does is it just preserves so much of your natural tooth and kind of works with your teeth rather than, like, giving you a generic smile. But if you do want it, like, if you're still not happy and you're, like, want something drastic or the shape of your teeth is wrong, mm-hmm. Then you'd be looking into veneering the teeth. But it is quite a destructive thing for, like, the large majority of people yeah. to do if they have nothing wrong with their teeth.
Yeah. And I think lots of people now yeah. think that that's a really easy solution to go for. Like, oh, let's get a mouthful of veneers, when actually the upkeep of them is for life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, and I think that's like a large majority of the things that people just want a quick fix. Mm-hmm. And it's about realizing that, like, it's like skincare, like, it's just, it's a process. It's a journey. It's going to take time to get a good long lasting result. And I think what you should have at the top of your mind when you're looking into treatments is something that's going to last. Yeah. So it's like you're saying, like, if you're going into something that's going to be destructive, cutting down your teeth, while it might be appropriate for some people, the, like, if it's not, you're looking at replacing them every 15 to 25 years.
Yeah.
So that's a huge expense. Yeah. And if they're not done correctly, then you could be looking at, like, the side of 10 years, because when I'm giving those years, it's including everyone. So if you're not going to someone who's highly researched and highly trained, you could be getting them replaced every 10 years. And when you get them replaced, more tooth structure is being removed each time you yeah. do them.
Yeah. And I think it's, even as you're talking, you know, well, one thing I think that people really forget about is that, like, your teeth are so precious, like, you know, and if you have a healthy tooth, you want to try and kind of preserve that and mm-hmm. keep that going for as long as you can. And a lot of the work to do that, like, it's a lot of work to keep up a basic set of nice teeth, as opposed to, I suppose.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Suppose like people think probably when they get these mouthful of veneers that it's plain sailing, that they don't have to maybe, you know, like almost like they're not real teeth, so they don't need to be kind of upkept. Would you say that people kind of think like that a bit sometimes?
Like, I think a lot of people think white teeth are healthy teeth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not the case. Like, if you could have white teeth and flaming red gums, and what people may think, oh, that's really nice contrast and it's making my teeth whiter. Red gums are unhealthy gums, you know, they should never be bleeding on brushing or anything like that. And so that's like not, there could be decay in your back teeth. So someone could have a beautiful front smile, but if there's so much going on, there's your halitosis.
Which we'll definitely come to, because we actually call it, Brona, death breath.
Yes.
death breath. We can say that, Brona, because we're not in the industry.
Yes,
we can say that.
Way to social distance, you know.
Oh my gosh, definitely.
And the mask helped a lot, like, but also all those people, like, they must have been having to smell their own breath the last 2 years. So God love them. Come here, Brona. Obviously, Davina touched upon this, but like turkey teeth are a huge trend at the moment. Everyone's seeing that it's the quick fix, but also at a price that maybe they want to spend, and they're like, okay, great. Plus, they might build in a little holiday in there as well. But I'm very curious, what is going on over there? Because we hear the horror stories, but then we hear some success stories.
I know. And I think like everything, like when we talk about turkey teeth, I want to just put a disclaimer out there. We're not specifically talking about turkey dentists. We are talking about like basically when people go on dental tourism and they go abroad, but we'll just say turkey teeth for purposes.
Yeah, it just has a nice ring to it, bro.
I know. I just feel like the thing is, there is highly qualified people everywhere.
Of course. Yeah,
but the problem is people aren't doing the research, and like if you're getting really good deals, like most things, there has to be cuts somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And with the dental tourism, like they're putting in, like I heard someone say to me recently that them and the girlfriend could go away, get their 6 teeth done for €2,000 for all flights and accommodation included. So
wow, for how much? What was that?
2,000.
Oh my
god!
Don't
tell me you're tempted.
No, I'm not. I'm not tempted. But that's a crazy one. But I can see how it would be appealing to somebody, especially if you haven't done research, if you don't actually know what the surgery is involved, because it's a massive like surgery.
Yeah. No. Totally. It is, and like the follow up and like everything like that. And the thing is, like, while it may seem like, the point is, like, when you look at this 2,000, it's looking at the front 6 teeth. Okay. This is just going to be an example. And most of the time when people are getting them done, like if you were to get them aligned and straightened and bleached and all that thing that I mentioned earlier, you're looking at about 3.8 in Ireland. Let's say 3.5 to 4 in Ireland. But to get the replace, so if it does go wrong in Turkey with the 2,000, it's taking 15,000 to undo that.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. And that's something that people would never like think about.
For 6 teeth. And like for your 24 teeth, which some people get crowned, which to be honest, it's unheard of. Like, why would anyone need that many teeth crowned? But to get that undone, right? I don't know actually what the previous cost of that is, but to get 24 teeth undone in Ireland can be from 30 to 40,000.
Oh my God.
So you're forgetting about the incurred costs. So originally it may seem really like sparkly and like, I want that. But if you think about it long-term, if something goes wrong, you might not have the right, this is a huge problem as well. There's different laws in different countries. There's different indemnities, so different insurance. So like, while it's everyone's choice to go away and stuff, I think those are really important things to look into.
Yeah.
Because they're often things that are sacrificed when you're going away. And one of the things that I've heard as well is that, like, when you get consults to go to Turkey teeth, they do them in hotel rooms in Ireland by unqualified dentists.
Oh, okay.
But the treatment is being carried out by qualified dentists. So okay. These are all things that you have to, like, you have to get their qualifications. You have to know what's happening in this behind the scenes. And as I said, it really comes back to things just have to be cut costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, if you compare then another, I'm really going on a rant about the comparisons, but if you compare then like lab costs. So this is like the main thing. So basically in Ireland, it really comes down to the lab costs and the time of the dentist, and the time of the dentist will be based on their expertise and all of that. The lab, like, we send away to get the stuff done. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of variables between here and Turkey for getting them done. But basically, a crown here will take 2 weeks. It's made of ceramic. It's bespoke. And it costs 900 euro on average. Okay. In Turkey, you could get the whole treatment for 300. Mm-hmm. It could be bulk buy. It could be not made to your tooth, which is essential to stop it from failing. Okay. Yeah. And sometimes they're made of plastic.
Oh, wow. Plastic. Oh, my God. In your mouth? That's nuts.
It gets worse and worse.
No hot liquids. Definitely not.
I know. But if it's plastic, then it's more porous. So why we use ceramic is it's not porous. So the bugs can seep through the plastic and again cause a failure of the crowns.
Wow.
So that price difference is there for a reason, first of all. But if our ceramist is charging us in Ireland about 300, which is the same price as the entire treatment in Turkey, something's got to give.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Brona, like, have you seen any of these horror stories like come back? Because I remember we were speaking before and you said that a lot of people that do go and have kind of like dentistry, kind of tourism. Is that what it's like? Tourism dentistry? Whatever it's called.
And
when they do come back, like will dentists be apprehensive about touching other dentists' work? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And like, it's not even other dentists' work, but it's when you've gone away and like we're trained, like in the dental hospital, we're told to not touch people that have come back from abroad. So you may, if you'll have to probably go on several consults and you'll eventually find someone that will treat you, but the large majority of people won't touch you.
Wow.
And yeah, because you're too liable at that point. There's so much that's gone wrong. So you're kind of advised to go back to the dentist away who's done the butchering, let's say, in the first place. So it will be very hard to find someone in Ireland if it's got really bad to treat you at that point.
A quick question. Why?
Because it's really sad, really.
Yeah. It's terrible if you made that mistake and you didn't know, you kind of went into it unawares and then you are given this information, like you would be pretty devastated.
Yeah. And it's such a major choice to make if you're getting that much work done in your mouth. But what I was curious about was, because I was listening to another podcast and they said that you don't actually have to whittle the tooth down always to get veneers and stuff like that, that some people will, you know, end up with very little under those teeth. What actually happens there? And that's just me being very nosy because I've seen the pictures. Was it Katie Price, Davina, that we saw?
It was with her shark teeth.
Oh, yeah. God, so scary. Yeah,
I know. But yeah, so that's actually, I'm really glad you touched on that. But basically, when you go away, okay, what I hear is you are told that the dentist will tell you that it is stronger if you put a crown on the tooth. Okay. Even if your teeth are totally untouched. Now, the difference of a crown and a veneer is a crown cuts down all surfaces of the tooth and a veneer cuts off the front surface of the tooth. So you're leaving now four extra walls of your teeth untouched. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
And cutting one surface mildly, like 0.5 of a millimeter versus the whole tooth by 1 to 2 millimeters, obviously reduces the strength way more. So without a doubt, the crowning teeth does not make them stronger.
Wow.
But why this happens is because it's simply time. So if the dentist away is doing a rush job, it's easier for them to do a heavy-handed prep. So like remove more tooth structure because it's quicker. Okay. But to do a really precise, fine removement and adjustments, it just takes more time. It takes more adjustments. And the dentist just don't have that. They don't have that time if they're charging 2,000 euro.
Yeah.
So it just, that's, it's literally, they're just, it's quicker for them to do that. So they recommend you to do crowns.
Okay, guys, we have a very special guest. It, like, obviously, myself and Victoria, we love a little procedure and we are all about aesthetics, and we are joined by an aesthetic specialist. One of a kind, we have the gorgeous Michelle. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Michelle,
I knew I was going to mess that up. We're going to leave that in, Michelle, because I always get double barrels mixed up. So this is Michelle.
No, you just say Michelle from Jadoo's Clinic, if that makes it easier for you.
No, this is Michelle Fiori Lawler. And we had just said, like, I knew I was going to mess that up. It always happens at the
start. I knew you were going to mess it up too. But that was, it was great seeing it in your faces. Coming.
It was.
Michelle, I want to start with a nosy question.
Yeah. Okay.
Firstly, where did that name come from? And secondly, like, I'm always afraid that I'm going to say that name wrong. Does that make sense? I'm always like,
everyone says it.
Like, you know, Versace. Do you remember in that film where she was like, it's Versace in Showgirls?
Oh, Victoria, my last name, my last married or maiden name is Fiori. And when I went to, if you go to A&E and you could have your arm hanging off and some doctor will come out next to me, they say Furby. Or furry, or you're like, I'm fucking getting up there. Take the next person to someone says my name, so I totally get it. So Jujuve is actually from my daughter. My oldest daughter is called Gemma, and for as long as she has walked this earth, and she's 21, I have been in college studying to do what I do. And what happened was is that I was playing around with different names to try and figure out what I wanted to call a branding for what I did. And you always hear of like rejuvenate or rejuve and stuff like that. So I decided then to play on the word and say, because my daughter is with the J spelling, so it was Jujuve, and it was like really easy to come up with, like, so, and I've kept it that way, but it is really difficult for people to try and pronounce it. So I've heard really some strange, you know, strange pronunciation. Yeah, over the years.
You know, when you're at the restaurant and you're like, you want to order something fancy off the menu and you're going, you go to the waiter and
you just point.
Could I have this, please?
Yes. You should have a number on my name, you know, so it's like a curry, you know, when you're ordering a curry. 42. I get a number. I'll go up to 42 and get my face done. Do you know what I'm saying? So sorry.
No, so just for anyone that's listening, like, Jujuve Clinic is an aesthetic based clinic, and you're based in Crumlin. And tell us a little bit about what you do there.
I am an aesthetic and cosmetic consultant. So,
fancy, isn't it?
I know. I didn't realize it until somebody said it to me there a while ago. And they're like, you know, both sides of the coin. Like, so I started in the industry as a non-medic. So you see an awful lot of girls that started in the beauty industry. I had been in it for 20 years. And I was sick of doing normalized facials on people. And then people were coming back and they were saying, listen, you know, I've like all these lines and wrinkles. And like, your job in a spa is to sell skincare. So I was like, why am I upping? I know the commission can be good in some companies. So why am I selling a false hope to some people when there's something better out there? You know, you want to change something with your face. And then I started to see the sad side of the spa industry, which is not very easy to say in this day and age. So you would see people coming in and they would be really excited about getting their face done or a massage or something like this. And then you discover that the only reason they're there is because somebody in their family has passed away. They've given them a voucher. So this is their one chance to look after themselves, or somebody's actually going through a hard existence after like cancer or something else like that. And, you know, all these different types of things. Yeah. And it was just the fact that somebody had taught them and they decided to treat themselves, or an awful lot of carers were coming in, you know, from family members who had passed away. It was amazing. And then I decided then that, like, I wanted to upgrade. So I studied abroad and it wasn't easy with two kids. I have a 21-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know you were a mommy as well.
I'm a mommy, My daughter's studying law, which is really, really strange for me to say. That little cow can cause an argument, no problem. Like, I have full hope in her and the law. It was really, really hard. It was easy and hard. So my parents were really good. They stepped in. I'm married to a wonderful man and he was brilliant the whole way along. Well, his stepdaughter is my daughter. And he was in. So if I had to go abroad, everybody would rally in and they'd push me out the door. So I studied many, many years ago and I became the first ever international student to win. I won a student award in my very first 6 months at the university. And they were asking me certain questions about like how to rebuild someone's face. And I start getting really nosy.
Okay.
Like, why would you, like, I understand why people will come in and get cheek fillers, but like, can it be used to rebuild someone's face?
Mm-hmm.
And there, that's a really interesting question. Or little things like, you know, I see an awful lot of people are afraid of nose fillers.
Okay.
I won't lie, I am too. I am too. So there must be something else out there to help someone whose nose bridge is being broken,
mm-hmm.
not by their yeah. fault, you know, not by their own fault. And then someone else stepped in and they were like, listen, there's another form of, you know, training and stuff that we could do. So then it took me 3 years to try and find a university. I qualified in aesthetics 7 years ago.
And yeah, that's what Michelle, I was going to say to you. Like, so like when did you go to study this? Because it seems to be the kind of industry that constantly keeps changing. Like there's yeah. always like new procedures, new treatments. So yeah. like it must be just constant. Like when did you start and get into it?
Back in 2014, 2015, I really started to find an alternative. So the next step to me was obviously I used to follow certain people who did like lip fillers and stuff like that. And when I reached out then to some of the universities, I found out that there was a couple in France that would take me on or some in the UK that would take me on. Now, we all know it's very much unregulated, you know, and it's quite dangerous to see some of the things that's out there. But I started to kind of build myself up, and I would go the long way about things. Like, so just before like the COVID lockdown, I had been asked by a well-known university that they have a training facility, and they were like, we're really interested in like, you're not a nurse and you're not a doctor, but you do know how to do certain things. We're really interested in coming in and sitting in front of a panel of doctors. They want to talk to you, know, to
yeah.
And I did. And lo and behold, then I started qualifying as a medic.
Wow.
And I'm registered with the Royal College of Surgeons in Edinburgh. Like, so it's really, I'm still training with them as it is. Like, so I have another.
Can I say, just to start off with, you make me feel very lazy. Very, very lazy. I did 1 degree and I was like, I'm never going back to college. I'm done with that shelf. Oh, goodbye.
God, Victoria, fair play to you for even doing a degree. Like, and fair play to anyone who has the idea of bettering themselves, because this industry is really hard to work in.
Uh-huh.
Like, I get on a daily basis, this is true as God, I would get randomers who have no industry background, who have nothing to do with anything else. I see someone doing a bit of lip filler and then send me this.
That's what I was going to say to you, Michelle. Like, so like, and I know there's like, you hear horror stories and things like that about the industry and kind of how unregulated it is. And this person's doing that and this person's doing that. Like, what are the actual rules of the aesthetic industry? What,
currently,
like,
at the moment, the new law that's due to come out states anyone who now is a non-medic won't be able to keep their license in the next couple of months. It's been not required since last year, so.
And just to clarify, like a medic, is that somebody that, like, you know, like what does that
has entail? A medical qualification?
Okay,
so
well,
medic or a nurse or a doctor. If fillers are to be administered, they must have a doctor on staff. In Jujuve itself, we are blessed. We have two of the top doctors in all of Ireland that work every day in my clinic.
Wow,
and they're on call as well in their own GP surgery down the road as well. So if they get, and they have done, I have to say, in the entire lockdown last year, those doctors worked tirelessly to look after all these other individuals. Like, we were getting phone calls from people saying, listen, I got a bit of lip filler out in, you know, someone's back bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got like this like really cold feeling in my face. And then we discover when pictures are sent over, they've got like mottled arteries that's been blocked.
Oh my God.
So they'd have to rush in and the doctors would see them and they'd send them off to James. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't happen with medics. It happens in anyone in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that you'd be really careful of. But we've seen an awful lot of back bedroom fillers being done.
Yeah.
Is that kind of on the rise? Do you think that's...
Yeah, it is definitely. Okay. So I'm qualified to do the Sculptura buff fillers. So, and I've been using that for the last while and they're really good.
I've
got a terrible pancakey ass, I have to tell you.
I was going to say, you need a bucket of fillers for that.
Oh, well,
come down to me. I will gladly look after.
I think my jeans would be shocked if I put an arse into them. Let's put it like that. Come here. This has made me think of like Pose, and I only recently rewatched the episode where there was a lady who was doing like, you know, backstreet fillers, and then
silicone,
lot of silicone.
Oh, yeah.
And I know some people personally who've had silicone treatments and were talking to me about getting rid of them and how costly and dangerous it is to get rid of them as well. However, some of the work looks great. Also, some of the work looks bloody awful. Well, like, what experience, because I'm a bit fascinated in the whole botched area in general. What experience have you had of that in Ireland? Has there been some cases that have come to you and you're like, oh my God.
We've seen it. Like, we get videos or text messages with pictures sent in on WhatsApp to us. And they're like, can you fix it? I only just told, actually, really surprisingly, a couple of days ago, there's a 13-year-old currently injecting himself in his house. He's ordering fillers online. I had been in contact by, well, we were contacted by certain people sending photographs in. They're like, is there anything you can do to help? Not unless they want help, but I will be asking the question is, how is he accessing this? Yeah. How is none of his family members stopping this? And he, like, there's more to it than just, it's obviously a form of body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
But regards to botched, I've seen both botched cosmetically and botched aesthetically here in Ireland. Mm. I'm a botched cosmetic patient myself.
Tell us a little bit about that. What happened? What's your experience?
So I was a size 18 to 20 girl living in Ireland in the aesthetics industry. I am everyone's dirty little secret. They come to me to get work done. But however, I don't look like the person that they aspire to look like themselves. I didn't at the time. Took it upon myself to go to Turkey back in 2017, 2018. I'm not actually sure, to a well-known clinic that's being, at the moment, they're having a lot of D celebrities going over there and blogging them. And what happened was that they did a tummy tuck on me and a BBL and supposed liposuction. I literally came out of the operating room. Within 8 hours, they had me back in a villa. I was completely destroyed, shoved on a plane, sent back to Dublin. I was 4 hours on a flight. The minute I landed in A&E, I landed, my husband drove me straight to James's A&E, and I was in hospital on and off over 6 weeks.
And Michelle, just like, so like when you go in, they obviously do the consultation, like had you researched this or had you checked out the place?
Yeah.
Or what? Like,
yeah,
so
definitely.
So what do you think kind of, what happened there? What made that kind of go wrong?
A lot of things. So when you get told about these places, you obviously research them online. So you look at their flashy
and
Instagram.
You just touch on something though as well. Like, loads of celebrities, you know yourself, like, you see them all the time. The likes of Katie Price, all these Love Islanders, they're getting these freebies going over there. And you're like, you don't hear the horror stories. You really have to look or Google or like, so well, tell us that clinic,
if it's the one that I'm thinking of, and we won't say their name.
I won't either, but I think you're right.
When I was looking into my first hair transplant, I've had two hair transplants, I was looking into them, and my mom kept going, no, you need to stay in Ireland, you need to do this in Ireland, you need to not go abroad. And then I remember I did do the first one in Ireland, and I was like, I heard about 6 months later all these horror stories about that place, and I was like, oh my God, my mom was right, like, in that so in that scenario
aren't as good, Joe, Victoria. You think about it, like, Ireland is so behind, and we'll discuss that in a few minutes. So, but they are so behind with regards to, like, cosmetic side of things, like, really are. Like, I was botched. I was brought back to Dublin, and in order to save my life, they had to glue my stomach muscles down.
Oh my God. And Michelle, what went wrong with the surgery? What happened?
Oh, we sent, well, the plastic surgery team in James has sent photographs directly straight over to the hospital. So it turns out that I caught a staph infection. I had a 5 litres of Roma had to be removed from my stomach. They had to open me back up again and rewash out every single stitch. They contacted the surgical team, or the surgeon who did the work, directly on his own Facebook page. And he admitted that, like, I needed to have a refund, and then blocked the Irish surgeons. Like, it's like, it was horrible, right?
So
then what happened was, I spent a year feeling disgusting in my own skin because I wasn't good enough. I didn't look like the type of people that do aesthetics. I'm good at what I did, but because I wasn't in that little bottle.
Did you feel extra pressure for that reason because of the business?
Definitely.
It's kind of mad, isn't it? Because it's one of those things, it's all about making people feel good. And if you feel awful yourself, it's like, it's such a paradox. Like,
it causes this mental issue with you as well. Mm. Like, you feel like that people don't want to talk about what you do because you look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's true. It's so true. I've seen people in this industry who are, you know, amazing workers, but they don't get so much as like a sentence in a paper over all the work that they do because they look a certain way, or they're not photographic enough. I remember being at a really well-known celebrity influencer here in Dublin, and was really excited with the tickets I had for the day. Went in, I met loads of clients of mine that was there that are all well-known and well-to-do, was yapping away with the whole lot of them. And when this particular person came over and she was flogging her makeup and stuff like that, when I say the word, just look straight past me to the people that was behind me. And she was all over these other people and the whole lot. And I was sitting there going, okay, maybe it's because I don't look a certain way. And that sits with you. You know that way?
When
I was botched and I had to rebuild my body, I had such, it looked like somebody had chopped me in two. So I had someone else's legs on someone else's upper half. I have the photographs. I'll gladly send them to you girls. But what happened then was, and this is how I met the plastic surgeons that work with me and work with the entire community as well, is
yeah.
My cousin went to have a tummy tuck done abroad. Because in Ireland, you could have a tummy tuck here, it could be €13,000.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abroad, a fraction of the cost. And the doctor.
And can I ask one thing? Why is there such a massive price difference in surgery here as abroad?
Greed and taxes.
Is it really? Yeah, just greed.
100%. Yeah. I can tell you exactly what cost goes into a surgery in Lithuania. I can't tell you what goes into a cost for, like, I don't know the costings here in Ireland, but like the difference, it's the same. The nursing staff, the doctor that has to give the anesthesia, I can actually tell you every down to the product that they use.
Mm.
Then all of a sudden, then you discover like Ireland, what the hell? And the doctors that are here in Dublin have to be flown in to do the surgery.
Mm.
You know, there's only two very good doctors here in Ireland. They're amazing at what they do, but like the rest of the time, like they're being flown in. Mm-hmm. So like it makes no difference. But like if you wanted to change something in your own body, it's not a sin to look about. So with me, I went by like this flashy Facebook or Instagram page and a load of all other people that were talking about, not realizing they were paid to talk about their surgeries
yeah,
or
giving
freebies. And I nearly died, like proper died. Like I couldn't sleep or anything else. That I was afraid to fall asleep in case I wouldn't wake up. Oh, my husband had anxiety and PTSD. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So that's what I mean. Like the after effect, something like that must have a like mental knock-on effect. But do you think going through something like that spurred you on to kind of want to help people make the right decision? Because you do help people kind of like if they are looking to have surgery abroad or to kind of like just, you know, because it is a bit of a landmine. You don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't. And you need to have the best references. And like, for example, I was destroyed. What happened then was that because James had saved my life and glued my muscles of my stomach down, fat started to congregate around my organs instead of outside in the skin, which you would normally have if you had fat in your body. So what happened then was I'd have visceral fat and it's so dangerous for the organ. And what they did was is they decided then, well, look, listen, you'll probably need to have that resolved in years' time. This is the hospital in Dublin. So a friend of mine is a plastic surgeon who had done work on my cousin. I was afraid to approach them because I was a bit kind of, I suppose, you know, you really see somebody and they're really good at what they do and they're kind of like afraid to approach them, you know, and I was more ashamed of the fact that I had been botched as well and I didn't want to really talk about it. And he came to see me and he was like, right, listen, we're going to do this twofold. We're going to give you a gastric sleeve. We're going to remove all the visceral fat internally. It'll take a year to do it, but you'll be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And once we do it, you're going to get to a certain size and then your weight will start like dropping off and start staying the same weight then for a while, which it did. And then he came to me, he rang me Christmas and he said, right, now it's time to give you breast implants. So I was so stunned. Like, so he rebuilt my body and then he got rid of the original scars. The man is a god.
Yeah.
I'm only back after being with him this week as well.
I can imagine. I can imagine like after going through that trauma, I can imagine the relief of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're going to cut it off there. Just like a little bit of surgery, we're just going to cut it off. And if you want to listen to the rest of our fabulous, beautifying interviews, you can check over on our Patreon. There's going to be lots more info coming your way there. In the meantime, we're going to get into our favorite time of the week. We missed it last week, but we are back bigger and more rotted than ever with our favorite time. It is...
Okay, Davina, I have, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 8 rotters that I wrote down in the last 3 days. So that will give you some sort of insight into where my brain is at the moment. Will I kick it off? Do you want to kick it off?
Yes, I'm just flicking through my list here and like some of these,
I think I'm going to need to get a few off my chest today, like some mini rotters as well.
Yeah, well, some of them, I think we can kind of go a little bit into it now. And if you feel, also, by the way, our Rotter of the Week filter is available on Instagram. So you want to tell us some of your rotters, do feel free to use that. Send me your rotters or we can just pick one up for you. That's no bother. But it's a new filter. We do appreciate if you use it and tag us and get using. So let's find out, who is your first Rotter of the Week?
Okay, first Rotter of the Week. People that flaunt their mucky house coats and dressing gowns on their Instagrams.
Talking about Erin McGregor?
No, I don't follow her, so I wouldn't see it. Does she live in her dressing gowns?
She has a new house coat range.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
You are shitting me. I am going straight onto Instagram to have a look at this right now. But you know what I mean? Like people that obviously like live in their house coats and dressing gowns, whatever you call it. But okay, I'm fine with that. But at least do like a Jeffree Star about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, make it the pristine one that we're getting to see on the Instagram. But
do you mean like in stories of the dressing gown is filthy?
Filthy. Manky looking. Like, absolutely, like, you dirty cow, get it in the washing machine.
But do you not always think it's a bit strange? I always think when like people have really untidy houses and they're filming and you can see messiness in the back as well. It's like, and I admire actually the bravado that people sometimes are like, fuck, I don't care. But at the same time, people are nosy. People look in the back.
The only link I can see on Erin McGregor's is called Imperfection, the brand.
That's it.
Is there housecoats in this?
Yeah, it is. It's just housecoats and kind of sexy pajamas, I think.
Oh, okay. Yes, I could see them now. Oh. You see, these are glam. I'm here for these. Love these. But like, Jesus. Like, okay, my example is, you know, the dark gray dressing gowns that look like,
yes, you're like, that were once white.
Yeah. It looks like a granddad's dressing gown as well. Do you know what I mean? Something that you'd bring them into the hospital if they were in hospital with a pair of like dusty old slippers from Dunn's. Like, these are not cute, girls and boys. No. Like, put them away.
No, I have to say, like, now, like, I am a sucker for like just like an owl t-shirt and like, you know, old like t-shirt clothes, like for like lounging around the house. I'm all for like, but nothing like, and they'd always be washed and clean, like in that kind of way. Yeah. Not like, no, not mucky and not dusty.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what's your first roar?
Okay, so mine are a little bit deeper.
Ooh, okay.
So let me see. How should I phrase this?
You know, if she's struggling, this is going to be a moment.
So I've just noticed a lot on... Okay, so I'm just going to keep this as vague as I can. And over the years, I have been involved with people and I have had liaisons and dalliances with people like over the years. Okay?
Okay.
And now to see them on Instagram playing the happy families and playing happy ever after and, you know, getting engaged or, you know, doing this or whatever, when clearly you're up to no good and clearly you're sliding in DMs all over the place.
Yeah.
It actually, it's just got to the point now where I'm just like, oh, it actually just really annoys me now.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually just like to see that and to be portraying that so like all over the place and everybody kind of buying into it, I'm actually fucking over it.
Yeah,
it's just, I've had enough of those people just being shady, because it's not actually, it's nothing to do with me, but I just hate the phoniness of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, who are you fucking lying to here? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So people who are playing happy families when you know, well, I know that they're up to shady dealings or just something. Bullshit. Because it's like, why are you like also trying to portray that life is fabulous and you're so happy when you're clearly not fulfilled and this weirdness gone on? So I'm not into the lies anymore. And it's just like, having that kind of like aimed at you is actually just this weird kind of like, it's just annoying. I think after the pandemic and all that, it's like, my tolerance for bullshit is just really minimal. And I hate seeing somebody that's actually just like living a lie.
It's more the forcefully pushing down your throat how idyllic everything is, and you're going
like, I'm not that smart, not, but if I was in a relationship with somebody and we were just say after we're like someone's having a baby or we're getting engaged or, and then I knew that I was being a dirty little rat and going around and sending people pics and doing all this kind of stuff and looking to me up and doing all this kind of shady business. Mm-hmm. I would be mortified to be posting that happy family shit, because it only takes one person to say one thing. Do you know what I mean? And as Gina would say, the house of cards just fall down. But like, it's the brazen neck of people. Mm-hmm. I'm just over it. Like,
It's triggering something in me from when we were doing live shows. And there was one half of I don't even know if I should say this. Should I say this?
Let's say it and then we can cut it out.
Okay. Okay. There was like someone, actually a few people ended up saying that like someone was sliding into their DMs because Twitter was like full on exciting during our live virtual shows and everyone was like really enjoying the banter. But then obviously a few drinks might have been had and someone would end up sliding into DMs who would portray the exact same thing as what you just mentioned there. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
That's totally fine because like, you know, it's like, it is a very broad spectrum and I'm just talking about, I just find it very exhausting when it's aimed at me, when I'm getting those messages and people are kind of coming at me in that respect because, and especially to do with the history, because I'm like, I'm always thinking that's never going to go away from you. Like that, you know, that kind of shady, kind of like sexy, like past, do you know the kind of way?
Yeah.
It's not ever just going to go away.
Oh, so I think it'll always catch up on you eventually. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I personally just could not do that to somebody. I couldn't be the person that was like lying. Mm-hmm. And lying to myself and lying to everybody so publicly and posts and stuff like that. Like it drives me mad. And that is wrong me this week because there's been a lot of it going on lately. And I think maybe post pandemic, seen an awful lot of people with babies, seen an awful lot of people get engaged.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm going to throw a few quick ones at you for this one.
Okay.
Anyone with their Christmas trees up before Halloween, like get a fucking grip. Get a grip. Okay. I'm all for Mariah Sharon, it's not time. And then 1st of November, it's time. That's fucking funny as fuck, especially as she's smashing a pumpkin. I don't like Halloween, to be honest, anyway, but I don't need to see her Christmas tree up before that. Brown shoes with suits that don't match in any way. Stop wearing them. They're disgusting with so many suits. I don't know what's going on.
Like a brown man shoe?
A brown...
Or a brown lesbian shoe.
A brown man shoe. Like, it's about, like, honestly, I'm kind of coming for, like, straight men there, to be honest. Okay. Like, who just can't get together. And
do you remember kickers?
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot that those are a proper school shoe.
Yeah, they were probably, that always reminds me of that time I stepped in the shit and the kickers were covered in shit.
Oh my God.
They were kickers.
And Dubes. Do you remember the Dubes that everyone used to wear?
Dubes. And all the girls from like Loretto used to wear them. And they were like, they had been like leaning from side to side. So they were literally like so wide, you probably fit two feet into them. You know those?
Yes.
They were so wide. They were basically, and they'd be falling apart. You got my Dubes.
Yeah.
Concealer lips and Dubes.
Oh, concealer lips. Jesus, that was a moment. Last mini one is electronic goods that come with fucking American plugs. Like, I mean, at this point, get it together. I don't have an adapter to hand. Actually, you know, as a lady with places on my back that need to be trimmed, none of us have these razor adapters in our bathrooms anymore. Days are gone. Like, where am I supposed to charge that? I have one more that I'm going to do at the very end because it's a bit more of a juicy one.
Okay. So, the only one, the next one that I have now, it's nothing as juicy as that is, I've been getting ready a lot at home because like since the pandemic, I like to throw on, you know, a little bit of TV moment or like have a little bit of time to myself and have a bit more of a process getting ready at home. And also I can just be with Winnie a little bit longer and you'll order a cab. And firstly, there's like a serious lack of taxis. I don't know if anyone has noticed since the pandemic's come back. And I actually realized, I think a lot of these taxi men have got new jobs through the pandemic. So there's less people around, but you do order a taxi. And I live in quite a busy street and a taxi will pull up, but they'll pull up like miles up the street. And like, I will literally have to run with like my bag of drag up the street. And sometimes you just have this fear that when you get close, they're just going to drive away.
Yeah. You know? Like, yes.
But they don't. It's happened once, the fear. But like literally, you don't want to be running after any taxi bad enough. Or then taxis that argue with you about like what route to take.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not a democracy here. This is like, you're going this way. This is what I'm paying for. That's the rules. So taxis beware. I'm after the taxis.
Nail on the head. So Sunday I'm trying to get home and the weather's miserable. I couldn't get any taxi on the apps. So then I'm standing on the street. Someone stops, rolls down the window. When they roll down the window, my stubborn bitch side wants to say, no, go ahead. I don't want you, straight away. Like, you're either taking my fare or you're not. You can see I'm not drunk and messy. So he rolls in the window and goes, where are you going? I said, where I'm going, obviously. And then he said, and cash your card. And I said, card. And he said, and he just drove off. He didn't even respond to me. Now, during like a normal year, you and me are basically putting some of these taxi men's kids through school. Do you know what I mean?
Literally.
For how many taxis we get would work. Let alone in the pandemic, we were still using taxis. And it just really frustrated me. I wanted to, because you know I have that inner like Karen rage in me that I would actually to like punch the car and put a dent in it.
Yeah.
Like, but thankfully he drove away too quick. So I couldn't.
One tip for like that, if anyone ever asks, like I always just say BlackRock. Because that's like, it's not too far now, and that's like a good fare.
Yeah.
And then when you get in, say, oh no, just on the way, like to BlackRock. Like I live like on the way.
Oh, that's really clever.
H BlackRock. And I'd say, oh, I'll just get out here. It's good, isn't it?
That's so clever.
Pick somewhere. Pick somewhere that's on your way. And then they think they're getting a great fare. Once you're in the car and you're on the road, just say, actually, do you know what? I'll get out here. What could they do? They can't do anything.
Have your fiver in your hand ready to go.
Have your cash ready to go. You just throw the money at them and you're out.
Oh my God, I love
that. And there you go. Because like, yeah, listen, I'm always one for thinking revenges of these bastards because their time will come.
I love it. Okay. My last one is drag queens that retire from drag, but then come back.
Oh, I see. There's a couple of drag queens that I would love to come back that haven't even officially retired. So like, I don't know. There's a couple of queens I really like. I've been pushing, for example, like Imperia. We used to drag with this queen called Imperia, Queen of Spain. Mm. And she was really fun to do shows with. And she just stopped doing drag, but she didn't. And she's been like, she's out of drag probably longer than she did drag, but she keeps like tempting maybe. Oh, and always when she's drunk, she's like, oh, me darling, I will do a show again. And I'm like, when is she going to do the show?
Yes.
So who has been retiring?
I'm talking about the queens that actually have the big announcement, the retirement moment, and then like 2 years later, you see them back. Like there's so many of them. Like some of them, like I'm like, okay, yeah, great, you're back. But like some of them, I'm like, well, you made such a big hullabaloo. Like obviously Imperia, she just kind of stopped. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think that's the way to do it. I think if you're just going to stop, just stop.
Yeah.
I think, although that being said, I do enjoy a comeback moment. I do enjoy Sharon's back from behind the bar at the pick. I do enjoy ice and lemon, Peggy. Like, I just love it. Like, so there is like this, I half agree and half don't. So yeah, okay. I can get it. Yeah.
Well, that's the last of my Writers of the Week. If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure you share it on your Instagram so that we can reach even more petty little bitches.
Yes, and do share your writers with us because you wouldn't be listening if you don't be rotted about something every now and again. So get them in. And we love to hear them.
Yeah, check out the podcast on our Instagram at Petty Little Things Pod. And more than anything, go check out our Patreon. It's gorgeous, it's cute, and it's real cheap, like Davina's costumes.
Yes, and we will be back. I actually recently got costumes from your costume maker, so don't be slagging back to Emma.
I'm only messing, bitch. I'm just messing. We'll be back in 2 weeks, unless we're on death's door.
Oh, no, we will. We'll be back. No, we needed a little moment. But thanks again for supporting us. I hope you enjoyed the pod. And until next time,
stay petty.
Stay petty.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.